Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with violinist Hilary Hahn when she was in town to play the Viatomp Violin Concerto No. 4 with the Philadelphia Orchestra. I asked her about when she first played the piece.
It's a concerto that I learned when I was about to go to Curtis. It was the last thing I learned before I started studying at the Curtis Institute of Music when I was 10. So I really go way back with this, and I was taught it by my Russian teacher, Clara Berkovich, who had just emigrated from the Soviet Union, where she'd taught in St. Petersburg for 25 years. So it's really part of the Russian repertoire because Viatomp himself lived in St. Petersburg and actually helped found the conservatory. So his tradition was very strong in Russia. And it turns out that Viatomp taught Eugène Isaï, the great Belgian violinist, because Viatomp himself was Belgian. And Isaï taught my teacher, Yasha Brodsky, with whom I studied at Curtis. And of course, then Mr. Brodsky taught me. So through my two teachers, I kind of have this complete circle of connections to this piece.
That's terrific. Do you remember how you approached it as a 10-year-old?
I do not remember, actually, many details of learning this piece for the first time. I do remember trying to get through the third movement while playing along to someone's recording and just getting entirely tangled because the rhythm in the orchestra is sometimes counterintuitive to the shape of the phrase in the solo violin part. And it's part of what makes the piece really interesting, that there are these conflicting directions between the orchestra and the violin. I think it makes it more like chamber music. Not everyone is moving in the same direction at the same time. Also, the way Viatomp works with the orchestration, a lot of the instruments have little solo lines here and there. So a lot of the rehearsal process for this piece is balancing out who comes to the front and who is a little bit more under the surface, and then that person when they come out as well. So all of this I did not know when I first learned the piece, but through living with it for all of these years and returning to it after taking breaks from it, I really have learned so much about it.
You've written about how when you play a piece for a long period of time, it gives you permission or license to experiment with each performance, with each orchestra.
The more orchestras I work with, the more different ways I play a piece, because each orchestra has its own way of interpreting music, of playing together. Each orchestra has its own tendencies. And of course, every conductor brings a whole other perspective to the piece. So there are actually three things happening on stage in an interpretation. There's the soloist, the conductor, and the orchestra. You want to bring all of that together, but there's not a ton of rehearsal time usually, so there's a lot of listening and adapting. That's a really great part of the process. So the more I play a piece with different groups, the more options I realize I have musically and the more ways I've had to adapt. Additionally, when I've worked on a piece for a really, really long time, especially returning to it after a little bit away and then putting it aside for a little while and returning to it again, it becomes very ingrained. So I feel almost like there is no other way the notes could go. And also, like, there's so much a part of me that I don't even think about someone else having written them. That's just what's happening. So it kind of allows me to really play with it because it feels like it's part of me, and that gives me a little bit more freedom to change things a little bit. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's also something that happens when I play a piece for the first time. When I have just practiced it and then I play it with an ensemble for the first time, everything changes and my perspective is constantly challenged, and that in itself creates a lot of freedom.
That makes so much sense. And what's it like playing with the Philadelphia Orchestra, where you know many of the players and you have a history?
I actually went to school with many of the players in the orchestra because I went to Curtis, and a lot of the Philadelphia Orchestra members also went to Curtis. And of course, I saw the Philadelphia Orchestra perform when I was a student, and I've worked with them over the years. So between all of those experiences, I have had a chance to see the orchestra and the individuals evolve over the years. Of course, the Philadelphia Orchestra has a much longer history than I do. And I can only imagine everything that it's seen through the decades. But it's really wonderful to work with this group. They have such pride in their playing, and they play at such a high level. Also, musically, everyone is contributing. And it's great to be in that environment because it gives me a lot to work with, a lot to respond to, and a lot to just admire while I'm just standing there on stage and the orchestra is playing, or while I'm playing a duo or a trio sort of section with different members of the orchestra in a certain piece. It's really wonderful.
Well, this particular piece is so interesting because it's so lyrical and operatic and has so many different moods. And it's surprising that subscription audiences haven't heard this since 1957. And I read in your liner notes to the CD that you have recently recorded of it, that you're finding that you can introduce it to a lot of orchestras.
Usually when I arrive for the first rehearsal of Mouton Concerto No. 4, I'm the only one on stage that's performed it. Often the conductors have not done it, the orchestras have not done it, and that's fine. I don't think it's that there's a gap in anyone's repertoire. I just think there are these wonderful pieces that are popular at one point, and then I think sometimes what happens is everyone thinks that this piece is being played, so they start to play something else, and then the piece that was played a lot winds up not getting played because everyone thinks someone else is doing it, but no one is. So I don't think it's a matter of quality or a matter of like whether the piece deserves to be played or not. There are a lot of pieces that just are not played very often because people are not in the habit of playing them, but they are really beautiful works. And this is one of those pieces. I think it's really great for the violin. It's a very virtuosic concerto. It shows off a lot of qualities of the violin musically and technically. And it's also very operatic. It has these theatrical elements to it, a lot of flourishes, a lot of simple lines that enable the performer to really express a lot of different things. And it has some beautiful soaring, complex elements as well. So there's a lot to work with.
Any particular movements or parts that you particularly love to play with?
All of it. It's such a varied piece. I don't think I could pick out one small part, but it's really how the different sections dovetail into each other that I find really fun to toy with, because you can change the proportions of the piece by making tiny little alterations in your interpretation from day to day.
Well, it must be fun to play. It was certainly fun to listen to. Thank you so much.
Thank you.